Hello, and welcome to a worship podcast for Shepherd Sunday, a day when we consider Christ as the Good Shepherd and hear the reading from John chapter 10 about how the Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. It's read to us by Christine Slater. We think about the key questions which this passage raises in the company of Kevin Taylor. And it's also traditional to think about Psalm 23 on this Sunday, "The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want." And we'll do that in song and in prayer. So, how are we feeling today? I'm hoping that a good number of you are comfortable in your green pastures and ambling along by the still waters. But some of us may have been travelling the valley of the shadow this week. Whatever we have been experiencing, and however we are feeling, we can know that our Lord is there with us. And he is our rod and staff, a strong support, and a very present help in trouble. So let's focus on our Lord and Saviour, the one who never leaves us, the one whose steadfast love and goodness is a constant comfort. Lord, we thank you for your care for us. We thank you for your friendship and companionship. We thank you for your promises, and we thank you that you are always turning things round and making them work out for good. Feelings can be deceptive. So even if we don't feel it, you are there. And even if we don't see it, we know you are working. We thank you that you went through the darkest suffering, even death itself, and came out triumphant. So we entrust our lives and times to you, knowing that you can bring us through to the other side in grand style with much rejoicing. Forgive us if we have gone off the path a bit, if we have wandered away from the shepherd. Lord, how wonderful it is to be rescued by you. Bring us back, rejoicing on your shoulders, today, this very day. Amen. The first song is number 479 in Singing the Faith. "The King of Love, my Shepherd is, his goodness faileth never."
The King of Love, my Shepherd is, whose goodness faileth never. I nothing lack if I am his, and he is mine forever. Where streams of living water flow, my ransomed soul he leadeth, and where the verdant pastures grow, with food celestial feedeth. Perverse and foolish oft I strayed, but yet in love he sought me, and on his shoulder gently laid, and home rejoicing brought me. In death's dark veil I fear no ill, with thee, dear Lord, beside me. Thy rod and staff my comfort still, thy cross before to guide me. Thou spreadst a table in my sight, thy unction grace bestoweth. Oh, what trans- And so through all the length of days, thy goodness faileth never. Good Shepherd, may I sing thy praise within thy house forever.
Here then is Christine with our Bible reading.
The reading this morning is from John 10, verses 11 to 18, and I am reading from the New Revised Standard Version. I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away, because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the Good Shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice, so there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father.
Hello. I'd like to share some thoughts with you on the reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 11 to 18. What's so special about shepherds then? Or indeed, what's so special about sheep? Well, actually, despite the significant part that both played in the economic upkeep of ancient Israel, both, particularly the shepherds, were left figuratively and physically on the outskirts of society. And yet God obviously regarded shepherds as important people for receiving divine messages, and regarded sheep as a wonderful symbol of communities in search of a safe and consistent leadership and care. And despite our best attempts to delude ourselves into thinking that it's always someone else who's gone astray and messed things up, we eventually are all forced to accept the realization that, to a greater or lesser extent, at single or at multiple places in our life journeys, we all go off track sometimes. The images of shepherds and sheep carried huge force in ancient Israel. Psalm 23, even now, still remains the favorite passage for many churchgoers, partly due to evoking a sense of comfort and security, I think. The words of Jesus about being the Good Shepherd in this chapter of John's Gospel also offer some comfort. But that's not before indicating the cost of achieving that sense of comfort. Jesus is eventually murdered by some of the actual people who listen to the words and the sentiments of the psalm. So this passage from the Gospel of John actually turns out to be a sort of meditation on the death and resurrection of Jesus. It contrasts Jesus with a hired sheepminder who has no intention of risking his life for the flock of which he'd been given charge. So who do we think is represented by this character of a hired employee? Well, maybe it's about false leaders, using the sheep for their own gain and benefit. Like in Ezekiel 34, where faithless shepherds of Israel feed themselves instead of their flock. All through history, right up to the present day, there are plenty of people in positions of trust who answer to that description of abuse. But I think that this disinterested or self-interested hired person is just there as a source of comparison with a self-giving, selfless shepherd. The way that he runs away at the first sign of danger makes even more obvious the image of the one who will sacrifice everything for the sheep. I think that in chapter 10, verse 11, the one who lays down his life for the sheep, when looked at in the context of verses 15 to 18 of this chapter, relates directly to the crucifixion. Otherwise, what will be the point of leaving a defenceless flock as a result of that kind of self-sacrifice? What distinguishes the proper shepherd from the hired employee, I think, in terms of his behaviour, is the care for the sheep. They belong to him. They are the reason for his existence. It's a vocation. It's not just something for him to receive a wage. And the vocation comes from God. In verse 14, we read, "I know my own, and my own know me." There's a close bond between sheep and shepherd. No unknown beings in the flock. Nobody who should feel unrecognized or forgotten. Everyone knows God, knows their shepherd, and are known to God and their shepherd as well. In a modern world where sometimes immediate neighbours don't even know, let alone communicate with each other, this idea of knowing so intimately about being part of a community will probably mystify some people, sadly. Indeed, some people actively seek anonymity. This could seem a bit cliquey as a Christian or Jewish community, if not for the bit where we're told that Jesus, the Good Shepherd, has other sheep that do not belong to this fold. So who are they then? Other Jewish or Christian people? Gentiles? Later future generations? We do know, though, that this means that the flock is open-ended. All are welcome. And there will always be others who will recognise the shepherd's voice as he calls them by name. Jesus is laying down his life for his sheep. But even though this is obedient to God's call, it's also done freely and unconditionally. His life isn't taken away from him as if his death was accidental or some sort of punishment. He chooses to lay down his life. And we know that Jesus had the power to take up his life again. So are we being told, in fact, that self-surrender or self-giving is the way to true life? I believe so. In verse 18, Jesus says, "I have received this command from my Father." Freedom doesn't involve arbitrary self-choosing, but involves the will of God. So what's true for Jesus is true for those who follow him, I think. And as he says in chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." Amen.
Thank you, Kevin. I'm using the prayer suggested for this day in the URC Prayer Handbook. It is by David Batchelor, and he invites us to pray for people in need of a shepherd, to pray for people let down by their shepherds, and to pray to Christ, the Good Shepherd. So let's pray this prayer together. The Good Shepherd. Pray for people in need of a shepherd. Frightened people, embittered by experience. Desperate people who are struggling to scratch a living. Lost people who listen for the shepherd's voice. May they know God's love through the care of others. Pray for the people let down by their shepherds, abused by their teachers, exploited by their employers, failed by their politicians, mistreated by their parents. May they know God's love through the support they receive. Pray to Christ, the Good Shepherd. Lord Jesus, who laid down your life for the sheep, when we are lost, seek us out. When confused, guide us. When disobedient, correct us. When thoughtless, teach us. When hungry, feed us. When afraid, restore us. Amen. And now the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Stuart Townend wrote this version of the 23rd Psalm, "The Lord's My Shepherd, I'll Not Want," which is number 481 in the Singing the Faith books.
The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me lie in pastures green. He leads me by the still, still waters. His goodness restores my soul. And I will trust in trust, I will trust in you. And I will trust in trust, I will trust in you. For your endless mercy follows me, your goodness restores my soul. And guides my ways in righteousness, and he anoints my head with oil, and my cup it overflows with joy. My feast on his pure delights, and I will trust in trust, I will trust in you, and I will trust in trust, I will trust in you. For your endless mercy follows me, your goodness will lead me home. And though I walk the darkest path, I will not fear the evil one. For you are with me, and your rod and staff are the comfort I need to know. And I will trust in trust, I will trust in you. And I will trust in trust, I will trust in you. For your endless mercy follows me, your goodness will lead me home.
So my prayer for us all is that goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our life, and that we might dwell in the household of God by the grace of God. Amen.